Welcome to another edition of Seagull Eagle, the podcast where two rivals meet. Crystal Palace and Brighton and Hove Albion. Two clubs, one motorway, an unlimited delusion.
It's the international break, but no rest for us. This week, it's Neil's turn to take on VAR as he tries to guess the mystery Brighton footballer. And I've got a swooping statement for you.
Plus, we'll go over all the latest club news and preview the upcoming fixtures for both Palace and Brighton. This is Seagull Eagle.
Evening, Neil. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you, Andy?
I'm all right, thank you. International break this week.
Yes. All gone a bit quieter. Quieter than last week, anyway.
Absolutely.
You know what, though?
Go on.
One thing I did want to pick up straight away. Did you, I presume you didn't, but did you manage to get to listen to the Albion Unlimited podcast this week?
You know damn well I did, Neil, because you sent me a text message going, "You've been done up like a kipper by Johnny." So,
That honestly made me smile so much.
I mean, to be fair, it's almost like talking behind someone's back, isn't it? Because I would have never known is the truth of the matter, because I ain't listening to that podcast, am I?
No, I think offense, he probably knew that I was going to send it to you.
Of course he did.
So, yeah.
Of course he did.
So,
and fair play. Do you know what? I predicted 6 goals in a game that was 0-0. I was expecting some stick.
Yeah, and even Albion Unlimited, Johnny Cantor decided to stick the boot in. So well done, Johnny. Thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. And up the Albion. What are we going to talk about this week, mate? We've got quite a few things, I suppose, to get through, even though it's international break. What should we talk about first?
Well, look, we have got lots going on, right? I've got a swooping statement for later. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I've done a bit of prep on this one, actually.
Have you?
I've also done, for everything. I know, mate. I've also prepared a good VAR for you later.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. I'm excited.
I've tried really hard to stop you getting it first time as well. So
okay, maybe I'm not as excited now.
Well, let's see what happens. I've also made sure that we have like a running order for the pod, and I've made sure that none of the answers or any clues are in said script.
I have already checked.
Exactly. Yeah, I know you.
Yeah.
So there we go. But talking about clues, maybe I thought, do you know what? This is the Seagull Eagle podcast. We've just had Seagull Eagle Day last week. So
I remember, I was there.
Well, not much else to remember, to be fair. So given the fact that it was Seagull Eagle Day last week,
yeah,
I thought that we could still celebrate it, albeit a week later, and just have a little bit of a reference to the Palace Brighton and which players potentially have played for both teams.
Right? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
yeah,
for me, right, the one that comes to mind straight away is the ultimate traitor that is, which is Glenn Murray.
Well,
right?
I think that's the big one, isn't it? Because he's around now so much as well, and it's recent history.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, he did good things for us. He came over to you, did good things for you.
Yeah, absolutely,
and
yeah.
And kind of stuck with you, really. He's kind of very much still with you.
Yes. Well, I suppose as well, if you think about it, he had 2 spells at Brighton as well. So I think that maybe sort of sealed it in that sense. So how do Palace fans feel about Glenn Murray then?
I mean, I don't think we lose any sleep over Glenn Murray. He was a legend when he was with us, and he scored a lot of goals and did very, very well. He left us and he's no longer our player and no longer our problem.
Right.
When he turns up at Selhurst Park, you get some stick.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's always the telltale.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to work out. Okay, so he does get stick.
Yeah, but I mean, but personally, I've got no beef with him really too much. I mean, he could have picked another club, but anyway. So that being said, we talked about Glenn Murray, but there are quite a few other players that have played for both teams. More, actually,
I know where this is going.
Than I thought that there would have been.
You're not going to ask me, are you?
How many do you think you can get?
Well, okay, look, I have to be honest here. Before Seagull Eagle Day on the weekend, I was Googling stuff, and one of those things was stuff like this, like how many players have crossed over. So I've got some in my mind because
there's 16.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't got that many. Okay, let me try. I'll give you a few. Glenn Murray. Thank you.
Yep.
I could give you, well, I remember Matt Upson. He's played for both.
He has, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go back a bit. We've got people like, what was the kid who played for mostly Palace? is it Humphrey?
John Humphrey.
John Humphrey, yes. I remember him as the ginger kid, the defender, McShane, Paul McShane. And then, oh God. So I've got two more, but they're from back in the day when I was a kid.
That
right?
still counts.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got Gary O'Reilly, central defender. Remember him. And going back even further, Eric Young, another central defender. And both of those did way back in the day in the 80s and 90s.
I mean, that's going back further than I have.
Is it?
So
yeah.
They're not even on my list.
It's because I'm older. But yeah, that's about it, mate. I think that's all I can give you.
Okay. All right. So for those of you who are listening, I'm sure you're probably having a little think now, shouting at Neil going, why did you not say this person?
Oh, hang on. Paul Dickov.
Yep.
I remember him.
Paul Dickov.
I mean, it was fleeting, but I remember him because of who he was. Yeah. Okay. Paul Dickov.
Adi Akinbaye.
Oh, yes.
Kenny Augustine.
Yes.
Calvin Andrew. I didn't realise Calvin Andrew played for Brighton. I must have missed that.
I have no recollection.
Gary Borrowdale. You said Paul Dickov. Yeah. Stephen Dobby.
Oh, now that, I should have got that one. Yeah. Stephen Dobby.
Felicity Gibbons.
I have no idea.
No idea who that is. John Humphrey, Paul Kitson.
Kitson.
Yeah, Paul Kitson.
Blimey.
You said Paul McShane, obviously Glenn Murray, boo. Jonathan Obika.
Oh, yeah.
Simon Rodger.
Oh, that's the one I should have got.
So Simon.
I can hear my nephews shouting at me.
Simon Rodger was in. You know, there's that team you remember as a kid when you were like peak obsessed with football when you were at school.
Yeah, and that's why I remembered Gary O'Reilly, mate. Yeah, because it's similar here.
And he was in the kind of the club photograph poster. You remember you used to buy them from the club shop rolled up in a tube? He was in that team, like peak team. There you go, right. Simon Rodger. And then we've got Stephen Thompson and Matt Upson.
Nice.
And obviously loads that are even older than me and Jesus, to be fair, that you've just come up with there as well.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah. So there you go. Well done, mate. I mean,
Thank you.
I would say good effort, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners probably got a few more than that.
I can say there was a few there, but I should have remembered Simon Rodger, if I'm fair. But I didn't realise there was that many, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to remember that's over a very long period of time. Yeah. And I think if you did that for many other clubs, there'd be a lot more.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right, let's move this along. What are we going to talk about? Oh, I tell you what we should do.
Go on. We should
start usually how we finish, but I think we should start this week as
Neil's
it's international break.
He's got a plan. Come on.
Yeah, let's talk about the upcoming games. Let's talk about this weekend's, when the Premier League comes back, what are we actually going to talk about? So we've got Crystal Palace are at home, aren't they? Who have they got this week? Oh, no, they're away. Aren't they? They're at Wolves.
Got Wolves.
Got Wolves away.
Well, look, how have we managed to play the team that are at the bottom of the league the week after the manager gets sacked and gets replaced?
New manager bounce. Here we come. Hope so.
So this tends to happen to us. We kind of pick our times.
Come on.
So, yeah, obviously, look, they've got Rob Edwards now. And I would imagine that there would be some kind of change of strategy.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't got long, though, has he? Like, realistically, you're still within that sweet spot where it still might not work or anything at the moment. Like, he's only just joined, so...
Yeah, but I mean, come the 22nd, he's got 10 days. He's got 10 days from when he was... appointed to when the game happens.
Okay.
I mean, that's not bad, really. 10 days with no other distractions, and I'm pretty sure that Wolves team won't be sat watching the telly right now. Mm. I'm pretty sure they'll be on that training ground. Here's some interesting stats about Wolves, Neil, that, I mean, I knew they were doing badly, but I didn't realise they were doing quite this badly.
Oh, let's enjoy how bad they are. Come on, then.
Not a single player in their squad has either scored or assisted more than one goal.
What? Oh, my God. Okay.
That takes a little while to sink in, that one, doesn't it?
That's bad. Okay. But, yeah.
Yeah. So not a single player's either set up more than one goal or even scored more than one goal. So, yeah, I mean, it's bad, isn't it? I mean, look, they've in their last, they've lost five, drawn one. They're sat in 20th. Obviously, Palace, the last few stats don't look wonderful, let's be honest, because of the fact that we win our European games and then either draw or lose afterwards. But we've won one, drawn two, lost two over the last five is what's happened there. Okay. So we're sat in 10th, they're sat in 20th. You would think that it'd be all right, wouldn't you? You'd think it'd be all right. I think it will be all right.
I mean, it should be, mate. Come on. I mean, realistically, that you have to beat Wolves, don't you? Like we had to beat them and we failed, but you know, you should.
I would hope it'd be all right. I really would. I mean, my only concern, right, is that everyone's like, oh, you know, you've had the international break, but everyone forgets that the international break don't mean nothing if you're an international. So if anything, you're coming back more tired than you were when you left.
I get that, but come on, I mean, Wolves have been horrific. Their last five games, they've got 1 point, and guess who that was against? Thank you. You're welcome.
Mm.
But, you know, they've lost to... Well, obviously they lost to Sunderland, but Burnley as well they lost to. They were worse than Burnley.
Oh, mate, I'm not saying that I think we're going to lose it. I think we're going to win 2-0. I think the a couple of things, obviously, Gahey is injured at the moment. We know that from the Brighton game. It was obviously confirmed earlier in the week that there's no structural injury.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that maybe he might make it back. I don't know about timescales and stuff.
There's a good sign, at least, that he'll be around and it won't be a big injury. So,
and if not, I'm all right with Canvo playing after his epic performance the previous week. So, look, my take on this one, Neil, we must get 3 points. We've got to.
Yeah, I
because
agree.
We have now got what I would say a more favourable run of fixtures coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go into the post bit of the international break, our first game without playing another game in a week or so.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You've got to win it, right?
Yeah.
Because after that, there's games twice a week until Christmas.
Yeah, totally agree. And so you're saying 2-0 to Palace is your prediction?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay. Do you know what? I might up you there and say I reckon it'll be 3-0 to Palace. I honestly think Wolves are that bad, and I don't think 10 days will sort it for them with a new manager. So we'll see.
I don't think they're going to sort their problems out, Neil. I just think that the players will automatically get a bounce back because of the fact that they care and want to impress and want a space in that team. So let's see. But I don't think it's good. I don't predict a problem, but we all know from last week that my predictions mean diddly squat. So there we go. Who have Brighton got?
We are at home to Brentford.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so I was doing some digging. I was looking at this and thinking, how well are Brentford doing? Because, you know, you look at other teams on and off and you try and work out how everyone's form is and things like that. And there is so little between the two teams, Brighton and Brentford, at the moment. Originally, I was thinking, oh, Brentford have started off terribly. You know, they're rubbish. And then suddenly they came into a bit of form. And obviously, we're on exactly the same points. If you look at it from a point of view of goals scored, we've scored exactly the same number of goals scored.
Okay.
We've got, if you look at the last sort of five fixtures for Brentford, they've done really well. They've got 3 wins in their last five. And obviously those wins were not particularly bad ones either. Okay, West Ham, but they've beaten also Liverpool and Newcastle. So they are playing pretty good at the moment, you'd have to say. They are in pretty good form for a team with a new manager trying to work out how to play. You've also got Ego Thiago as well, who's obviously now taken over second spot in the top scorers of the league, in front of now Danny Welbeck and your Mr. Mateta. So he's got like 8 goals this season already, and he is flying. Plus, of course, you've got the boring old threat of the long throws.
Hey, don't forget, it was only, I think it was the 1st November where they turned up on amazing form. I think they hadn't lost in six or something. And we beat them 2-0. And I'll be honest with you, it was quite a comfortable win. More comfortable than I would have imagined. So I think you looked good last week against us, let's be honest. You bullied your way into getting a point, and anyone could have won that game. So
no,
I don't see why you can't get something out of this. I really don't.
Yeah, me too. I mean, obviously me too. I mean, I would say...
Don't want you to.
We've been a very sort of hit and miss, though, against Brentford in recent history. If we look at the last sort of five games against them, they beat us last season at Brentford. I think if you remember, it was the game where João Pedro got sent off, and that was the last time he played for us. And then there was the bust up in the training complex as well and all that sort of stuff. We drew 0-0 at Christmas time at home in this fixture last year. And as I say, the last five fixtures, Brentford have won one, Brighton have won one, and the rest have been draws. So it wouldn't surprise me, looking at how close the teams are, that this will be a draw again. It could even be a 0-0 because of the way that Brighton are currently playing defensively. Depends, though. They're at home. They might change things. Injury news-wise, I think we're going to have to obviously wait on the returns from the international duty, like we all do. But I fully expect Matoma to be fit and ready. Tommy Watson, who had a knock against, who therefore couldn't play against Palace, he did actually go and join up with England under 20s.
I was going to say, he's gone, isn't
he? Yeah, exactly. So that looks all good from that point of view. So then really all we're left with is Gruder, who could be returning soon-ish, and then the long-term injuries of Solly March and Adam Webster, which we can't worry about at the moment. So we're not looking too badly. Now we've got Veltman back as well and that sort of thing. So Jack Inchwood is the only other one that's floating around, but I don't know his return date at the moment. So
what about your diver? Has he come out of hiding yet? Or
he's fine. He's not
right,
been hiding.
He?
Yes.
It's a bit embarrassing,
I'm
isn't
sure,
it?
It is a bit embarrassing. I agree. I'm sure he's had a few words spoken to him by certain members of the club. But I think at the moment where I'm going with this is, I think prediction wise, do you know what? I honestly think it might be a draw. I just think the two styles will maybe cancel each other out a bit. So I'm going to go with 1-1. I'm not going with clean sheet. I'm going with 1-1. That's my prediction.
Don't forget, Neil, that every game that we play now, if one of us wins and one of us loses, it's hopscotch.
Yeah.
It's so exciting when
it is for the time being, isn't it? It really is. We can talk a little bit more about other things coming up in the second half of this podcast. But right now, I think, Andy, it's time for this.
Swooping Statement of the Week.
Welcome to Swooping Statement, where we dive into the bold, the unpopular, and the controversial opinions about our beloved clubs. In this feature, we'll challenge the status quo and take a hard look at the takes that might ruffle a few feathers. Whether it's a hot take about tactics, player performances, or even club management, we're not afraid to stir the pot and have a tough conversation. So buckle up, because this time it's Andy's turn. Andy, what have you got for us?
Thank you, Neil. Good introduction. Very professional.
Thank you.
My swooping statement this week is thus.
Go on then.
Crystal Palace's lack of squad depth is becoming the elephant in the dressing room. Or perhaps more accurately, the pigeon on the bench. The January transfer window is being touted as a lifeline, but at this rate, it'll be more like a post-mortem. With a brutal run of fixtures before the window even opens, waiting for January already looks too late. The African Cup of Nations will strip us of three players, Sarr, Uche, and Riyad, who's now back, leaving us looking reasonably vulnerable, potentially. This season, Glasner has used just 22 players in the Premier League. Two of them have actually left the club. Of the remaining 20, there's a core of 15 regular starters. Mm-hmm. And that's where the trust ends. Eddie Nketiah, our five-time super sub, is now sidelined, right, with injury, leaving Uche as the only attacking alternative, who isn't even getting minutes.
No.
And if Munez picks up a knock or ends up at Barcelona, like's being touted in the media right now, unless we're feeling nostalgic for 2016, Klein is not the answer. We've passed the quarter mark of the season. And that core group has played a staggering, get this, Neil, 98.7% of all available minutes. Put that into perspective. Ebert Chiesa, with just one appearance against Chelsea before he left, has had more minutes than the other non-regulars combined.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No club in the league has had more players completing full games, fewer substitutions, or shorter average sub time, just 15 minutes, and this team, which are pretty much running on fumes before Christmas.
Yeah.
So it all sounds very harsh, because actually we're doing all right. But as soon as we started playing Europe, the form started slipping away. Mm-hmm. This approach cannot be sustainable. And how long before it fully breaks down? Unless suitable reinforcements arrive in the January window, we're one injury away from swapping European ambition for bottom half mediocrity, just like yourselves. So that is I know it's a big statement and
Well, I mean, it's a big statement, but also at the same time, I'm just really pleased you've come to my side of the argument.
I think I always was a understander of the situation, just less critical of the situation.
Understandable, mate.
And do you know what? Here is my honest take on it, Neil.
Yeah.
I think that It could go one of two ways, right? It could go one of two ways. We could get away with it.
Well,
we
Well, that's the point, isn't it? It's about are you going to be lucky, I suppose. Yeah.
And that's, and unfortunately though, that is the decision that we've had to make as a club, or the club has made, or the position the club's put themselves in, that we are riding our luck, because actually January comes too late. If you look at that, and we're going to go through it later, aren't we? But if you look at that schedule for Palace, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
There is a game every 2 or 3 days between the international break return and Christmas, and we've already got players that are injured, but there are going to be a few that are coming back, we know that.
But you also said that, I forgot about the African Cup of Nations, so you're going to be losing 3 players there, of which obviously one of them is literally one of your star players. So yeah, you're losing Ismaïla Sarr, who I think is Senegalese.
Yep.
And Senegal were one of the big teams.
So, and they're going to be there a while.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
I think it's up to 8 games they're going to miss.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a...
And you've got Chaddy Riyad, who is just got fit again. Yeah. And I know that he will get a game. He will get a game. He's playing for Morocco. And obviously you've got Uche for Nigeria.
Nigeria will go far as well.
Yeah. So, and obviously, I mean...
Right.
It could be worse. If we had Decore in our team, he'd be off and all. But he's obviously injured. So that's my concern. Truthfully, I think the reason that I've written this you know, little piece up to be published is mostly due to the African Cup of Nations situation. Because I think we might get away with it, unless Munoz gets injured and we end up with Klein at right back. I think we might get away with it. But with the odd draw and just scraping through and so on, I think the Cup of Nations on top of injuries could actually cripple us.
I mean, I think that's the thing, isn't it? You've got so much going on in the next 3 months. And as you said, quite rightly at the beginning of all of this, in the next 2 months, you've got so much before the window even opens, before you can even make any changes or any improvements. I mean, I think that's my question to you is, like, are we sure this was the plan all the way along? It doesn't feel like a good plan. Like, I know Palace said, like, at the end of the window, you know, we've done all right, we got the ones that we wanted and all this sort of stuff. And obviously there was a bit of a conversation, which you said, about obviously we haven't quite got everyone because of the UEFA situation that was going on. But it just feels like it's so thin, that squad.
I don't think it ever was the original plan, right? Let's just, you know, we put the banter and rivalry aside and all the other bits and pieces. The fact of the matter is, mate, we qualify for a different competition that we end up playing in.
Yeah.
The players that were in all of the rumours that, you know, half the time comes true when you see being linked to players in the media so often.
Yeah.
Like, there was clearly pre-agreements put in place with quite a few players, one being Diamande, and there's a few others that had clearly given a verbal, I'm up for this, let's get it done, who then backed out after they realised we weren't in the Europa League.
Sure.
And I think then you work it out, mate. It's like doing your homework and the dog eating it and have to start again. And I think that's genuinely what's happened here. I don't think that we can be overcritical of the fallout, because they're being blamed for the, you know, let's not go into it, but I think the point being is that you can't kind of prepare for this sort of chaos. I think what you can do is prepare for a January transfer window.
Yes.
And I just hope and pray. I mean, I know that we've got people in place now to actually do this sort of stuff, because we even didn't have that over the winter either.
Right. Okay.
Over the summer, sorry. So hopefully now over the winter, we will have a steady pair of hands to manage us through. And look, let's be honest, the people that they did bring in over the summer...
Yeah.
Have done all right. They've done all right. Maybe Borna Sosa hasn't quite got the ground running. Uche hasn't been given a chance. I mean, so much so, mate. Uche, in the last home game that we played, was stood there at 94 minutes, ready to be brought on, and ended up sitting back down again. Like, the poor guy's not even being given a chance. And he actually looks all right when he comes on. I think he's got something about him.
I'm surprised he hasn't played more. That one in particular, because I remember when he had a first couple of minutes, you were like, oh, this guy's got something about him. You really like him. So I'm surprised he hasn't played more, you know, especially now where there's so many games.
I think that going to see a slightly different tact with that and Glasner, because I think he's going to have to.
Yeah.
I think as soon as games look like they're being won, there's got to be changes being made. But the problem is that the system he plays is so difficult and technical, and it takes such a long time to learn what needs to happen. That's why he historically goes with such a small squad. Let's see what happens, mate. Let's see what happens. But all I'm hoping, and there's no beef, right? Because ultimately what's happened. All I'm hoping is that there's three or four decent first team level players that join in the right places of our squad. Because there's certain places we haven't got problems.
No, I get you.
I think we do need another striker coming in, though, truthfully.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Andy.
Swooping statement of the week.
It's now time for this.
VAR.
Who are you?
Welcome to VAR, Very Anonymous Recruit, the Seagull Eagle guessing game where we try to spot the mystery footballer hiding in plain sight. This week, I am the quizmaster and Neil becomes a confused wreck trying to guess which Brighton player it is.
I already am.
All based on five cryptic clues about a current player from the squad. I've got five clues lined up, and just like any good tactical battle, it starts tight and cagey and opens up as we go. The further you get, Neil, the easier it should become, in theory. You figure out the very anonymous recruit before full time?
Okay.
Neil, let's play VAR. Okay, by the way, we're going to play this out right till the end, and I'm going to let you know when Neil puts his hand up writes it down.
Yeah, good point.
So that you can play along at home or in the car or in the park, walking your dog or swimming or feeding your fish or eating lasagna. Whatever you're doing right now. And if anyone is doing any of them things, I know.
Right, I'm getting my notepad up so I can write so I don't cheat that. Here we go.
Okay, here we go then. Clue number one. Joined Albion in June 2025.
Oh, okay.
That's all you're getting, mate.
In June 25. Okay, so it's got to be...
Well, I mean, look, there's two bits of the clue there that he plays for you, and it was 2025.
Okay, so I've got an idea of a couple, but I'm not going to guess, obviously, now and then lose all my opportunities. But yeah, go on then.
This is an interesting one. Oh. Has only played professionally for teams with stripes in their first team kit.
Got it. I think I got it. Oh, no.
Just for those of you listening, he's looking pretty cocky at the moment.
Hang on.
He's had a change of heart now. He's overthinking it.
Oh.
So only play professionally for teams with stripes in their first team kit.
Oh, no, because he played for... Do you know what? No, I'm gonna go with it. I'm going to try my luck. I've got it written down.
This will give it away. Clue number three, represented England at under 17, under 18, under 19, and under 21.
Yeah.
Neil's now doing some kind of weird dance.
I had a choice of two, and I was like, which way shall I go? But I went with my gut.
Okay. Clue number four, was born in Hordon, England on the 8th of April, 2016, which I believe makes him... too young to be a footballer, 1920.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And clue number five was that he scored on his debut in that epic romp of a win over Oxford in June 2025.
Nice.
I didn't realise that was his debut that he scored in. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Okay. So my guess, I don't know if you can see, but look, I did put it there.
He's put it in the smallest font.
I was just quickly writing it down, sorry.
In my life.
I put Tommy Watson.
Mate, you literally could have written the word sausage and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. That's ridiculous. Stewart's inquiry. No, he did get it. Yes, it was Tommy Watson.
Do you know who I was thinking about? I was torn between Tommy Watson and Kostoulas.
Mm.
Because Olympiacos play in stripes as well.
I did think that through, actually.
And I was like, oh no, it could be either of them. And I wrote down Tommy originally and then suddenly had this thought that, oh no, I've got this wrong. But okay, I got lucky a little bit. Mm. So yeah, it was a good one.
You got it on two, but you would have got it on three if you hadn't got it on two.
Yes, I would have got on three, definitely. Yeah. But that was good. Thank you, mate. I enjoyed that.
Well, Brighton fans, I hope you got it within either two or three. And Palace fans, I don't think you really care.
No, I do get that. It's very one-sided, but they're just waiting for you to make sure that I don't get it. That's all they're
Oh, absolutely.
It
absolutely.
Works both ways, doesn't it? Well, look, thank you very much. That was...
V-A-R.
Who are you?
Okay, mate, so we've got a few other things to tidy up before we go today. We've got some club news. I know there was a couple of things that you wanted to talk about. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, if you want, mate.
Yeah, go for it.
The first one, actually, is a bit of a random one. Do you remember Franta?
Oh, yeah, the guy, I always remember him because he's the one that you told me he has like a Ballon d'Or clause or something.
Yeah, he did have a Ballon d'Or clause when he signed, yeah.
Which always makes me laugh. Yeah, go on.
Well, I mean, it's even more laughable now.
Why?
Because basically he's having a very miserable loan at Vasco da Gama.
Oh, okay.
The 21-year-old was booed by Vasco fans in the latest 3-1 defeat.
Oh, dear. Is he just stinking the place out? What's going on?
He's literally stinking the place out. Oh. Since his arrival from Palace, I think it was in August, wasn't it? Mm. And it was a bit of a surprise loan out as well, that one.
Yeah.
France has featured in 11 games without scoring or assisting.
Oh, right.
In 11 games. And that's at that level as well, right?
Yeah.
I think his performance has been quite quiet. And look, I think this is striking of a kid who is... He's lost his confidence, I think, is the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Once one of Brazil's most promising talents, actually, and he genuinely was. He was deemed to be the wonder kid and came to the Premier League to ply his trade. And he obviously spent a lot of time with us injured and came back, couldn't quite work out that system, I don't think, went out on loan. I think they're getting desperate now. They're even trying him as a defensive midfielder.
Oh, wow. Blimey.
Like, that's what they're talking about doing now. He's under contract with Palace until August 2026.
I mean, he's still youngish. I mean, it's not like, I know people like develop at different times. And if he's just having a bad run, I never really want to sort of wade in on anyone or make fun of anyone, especially so young in that sense. Like, he's gone away. He's gone to try and do something to improve himself and get a better rep. And sometimes loans don't work. Do you know what I mean?
To clarify, I'm not digging him out.
No, I know
if anything,
you're not.
Actually, I've been the one singing this boy's praises
since he
came. And I've been so excited, as I know a lot of the other Palace fans have, about having this quirky, flary Brazilian coming into the club and setting the ball on fire creating all these magic moments. And it just hasn't quite happened. But I mean, look, he's been absolutely plagued in injuries. And it's just, I don't know. I guess the reason I brought it up was, do we think he's potentially not going to end up coming back to Palace? I think there is a chance of that if someone offers some money, because clearly we're going to have made a loss on him.
Well, I think there's two schools of thought, isn't there, with loan players that are going out. And it's interesting we talk about that, because I've got one to talk about in a second.
Have you?
And I think it's interesting because you've got this concept of, you know, if a loan doesn't work, do you bring them back and try and another loan? Do you try and just sell or whatever? You know, there's lots of these choices, and lots of clubs go very different ways. With Brighton, we generally try and loan two or three loans to sort of get an average, to try and understand where their level is and what they're doing. And I think, you know, going to Vasco, I think it's a long way away from Palace, put it that way. It's closer to his home in that sense. But I just think, you've got to give the kid time. I think you've got to give the kid time. For me, if I was them, I would bring him back and I would try to maybe... most clubs have like an extra option to extend the contract by another 12 months or something. I would do that and bring him back in and try and get him into League One, Championship. Just see what happens. Just see what happens. If you can do something in the English leagues, I think it would change a lot of people's minds of him.
Yeah, look, he was bought for a different system.
Yeah.
But... look, he has got that exciting, you know, sprinting, dribbling, just kind of attacking flair. He has got it. He's just not quite coming together. And he did have moments of near brilliance when he did play the one or two games he played for us. I do think that potentially he did go back over to that neck of the woods because he was homesick or not settled in London or whatever it would be.
And so that's tough. That's really tough.
My inkling would be I don't think we'll see him again. But there we go. Let's see. Well, what about you? You had a loan thing to talk about?
Yeah, well, interestingly, it's almost the opposite way around. So I wanted to prick up. No, probably not going to.
Don't prick up.
No. I wanted to pick up on a player that actually, when we signed him last season, I didn't think too much of him, right? And this is a kiddie called Amario Kozie-Adubri. Now, we got him from Arsenal Youth, and we signed him, as I say, last season. And he came in and he went off and did a couple of bits with the youth team and stayed with them. And then this season, he's only 19, and we sent him on loan to Bolton Wanderers. So top of League One area, right? Bolton are currently third in the league in League One. And most of that, realistically, is down to Amario. He has been completely on fire. So he, on this weekend alone, he got 2 goals and 2 assists, right? He's now got 7 goals, 7 assists in the 13 games that Bolton have played. They are, as I say, in third place, and there are now lots of teams looking at him and asking Albion the question, which is, do you have a break clause in that loan? Can you, I know Sheffield United are interested, a few other Championship clubs saying the same thing, which is like, can we now have him for the rest of the season, please? Because obviously League One is possibly below him, et cetera, et cetera. And so I suppose to your point, about your chap and mine, it's like, this is what happens. You have a loan out and suddenly something amazing happens. You find the team that works or something like that, or sometimes it doesn't work, you know, and it really affects the player and it makes things worse in that sense, you know. And I just thought I'd bring it up because actually we're in a situation now where Brighton are actually trying to fend off clubs because they're saying, no, we want to keep him at Bolton. We want him to develop for a longer period of time and gain the confidence. But my understanding is Sheffield United, West Brom, Preston, Bristol City have all already contacted Brighton saying, what are we doing with him? And obviously what that does is with a great loan like that, in some respects, it's, well, I don't really want to change what's happening with this player. Let him stay the whole season, bring him back to Brighton in the summer, and then let's see. Because if his confidence is sky high, he's a beautiful right-wing player, left-footed. And, you know, you never know. But it's really interesting because you have other players that go out on loan and suddenly you never hear from them again. But Amario Kozie-Adubri is on fire at the moment. So I just wanted to pick it up and say, look, that's the seesaw of loans, isn't it? It's just the absolute black and white.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Well, good on him. Good on him.
Have we got any other news you want to talk about?
I don't know if you remember me whinging the other week about the fixture congestion situation.
I think you might have mentioned it once or twice.
Due to us doing something that you didn't do, which was to make it through to the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get any further than that, but... on the 23rd of December, that's basically when the Carabao Cup's being played.
Yeah, we were talking about the fact that you had so many games in like a week, didn't you? And you were trying to work out whether... Because didn't Palace try and actually get a game moved?
Well, both Palace and Arsenal basically asked the Premier League to reschedule their games.
That's what did it then, wasn't it?
Because we both ended up with, four. I think we had 4 games in 1 week is basically what we had, which is just ridiculous. So they've announced, obviously, at the beginning of the week that they were going to, for player welfare...
Bless them.
They were going to reschedule the games, but they also wanted to thank Leeds and I can't remember the team that Arsenal were playing. I think it might be Burnley.
Right.
They wanted to thank them for being flexible and moving the games.
So the Leeds game now,
it was meant to be on the 21st December. It's now on the 20th, so it's just the day before.
Okay.
And to be fair, I mean they've done the most minimum change possible because it wasn't the 21st December. It's now on the 20th of December at 8 PM.
Right.
Okay. So it's an evening game.
Okay.
And funny enough, I think they've done the same for Arsenal as well. They've done an 8 PM game.
So look, while we're talking about fixtures, I think it's a good idea maybe then to just touch on how we're looking. Palace and Brighton at this moment in time from after the international break as we're just coming back out of it to Christmas. And I thought I'd have a look at the fixtures that we've both got going up until literally Christmas Day. That's what I thought we'd do and have a little nosy to see how things are going. And obviously, I think we should talk about Palace first of all because it is an absolutely crazy time. I worked out that Palace have got 10 games in 32 days. 10 games in 32 days.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
So you guys have got, so let's go through this. I'll just whistle through them, right? So you got, as we just said, Wolves, right? This weekend, Premier League, Strasbourg in the Conference League in the week.
Away. No, Yeah, away.
Strasbourg at home, is it, or away?
No, it's away.
Oh, it's away, okay. Man United at home, Premier League. Burnley, Premier League away. Fulham, away, Premier League.
Yep.
Then you've got Shelbourne, Conference League. Okay, you could probably play a youth team there, but still. Man City, Premier League.
Away.
Cups.
Which is at home.
Conference League. And then that Leeds fixture. And then Arsenal.
And then it's Christmas!
Hey! Merry Christmas, everyone. So, 10 games in 32 days. I mean, that is...
Hence my swooping statement, mate.
That is hilarious.
I'm looking at that and I'm going, who's going to be left at the end of it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think that's the thing. When you look at down, even if you just look at the Premier League for a second, right? Okay, so Wolves, Man United, Burnley, Fulham. Okay, so all of those are winnable games, right? Then you've got Man City. And then, as you say, you've got Leeds. But in between the Leeds game, you've got the Cups, the Conference League, and then Arsenal in the League Cup as well. It's just an absolutely crazy time for you.
It is mad. But, I mean, look, as Glasner says, and he does do this speech very, very well. I don't know whether he believes it himself, but he says it, which is, you know, this is the prize. This is what we try to win and try to compete for. And it's great. I think it's just a real shame that, like, there's not enough time to be able to do it properly.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, going back to your swooping statement, you know, you knew you were going to be in this position. Okay, maybe not the League Cup, but the rest of it and stuff. And it's just a shame that you're just so thin on the ground. That's going to be the worry, you know. I mean, look, by if you look at the completely opposite way of this, right, look at Brighton. Okay, so in that same...
What have you got, like five games?
But yeah, half the number of games we've got. We've got five games in those 32 days. So we've got Brentford this weekend at home. Then we go away to Forest. And these are all just, you know, weak games. Then we got Villa at home. And that, I think, is the midweek game. Because there's one of those midweek fixtures for the whole Premier League coming up soon as well at the beginning of December. We've got West Ham at home. And then we've got Liverpool away. So Brentford, Forest, Villa, West Ham, all of those are not, I wouldn't say they're winnable, but you know what I mean? Like they're all like games that I would expect to get something out of most of them. You know what I mean? Like it can go either way.
Well, out of them 12 points, I mean, if you haven't got 6 to 9 points out of that,
I agree.
You've got to beat Forest.
I'm hoping to get sort of 8 points would be great out of all these games. You know, that would be great. And then you've got the Liverpool away and who knows what form they'll be in by then. We don't know, you know, so... Anything could happen there, but in comparison, is just crazy, isn't it? You to have 10 games, Brighton to have 5.
Don't forget, though,
fantastic
for you. I mean, look, don't forget. If you look at our fixture list that we've just gone through, it's not too much different to that. Mm-hmm. That's the truth of the matter. We've been playing
it's constant, yeah.
We've been playing 3 games a week for pretty much the most of the season.
Yeah.
So. I think the team are ready and prepared for it. As I said, I just hope that the international players come out of the international break okay.
That's the other worry, isn't it, I suppose?
And I think the other thing is that I want to get 3 points out of Wolves and win the Strasbourg game. I want to get the first two games off the ranks and get some points, both in the Conference League and the Premier League, because I think the Man U game, I think, might be a bit tricky for us. And not because they're Man U, but because of the style of play and all the other bits and pieces. And then I think we've got a chance against...
You've got Burnley
and
yeah.
Fulham.
Fulham, yeah.
Shelbourne... basically play in the farmer's backyard.
You really should win that.
We should win that.
Yeah.
And then you got Man City away. I can't see us getting much out of that, given the fact that we got 2 days after we got off a plane. And then the rest of it's history, really. And I think by the end of it all, if we can top it all off with a cup win at the Emirates, I think, I mean, Christ, we might as well just win the Premier League, because that would be ridiculous. So, I mean, I would imagine us to be fielding the youth team up at Arsenal, not because we don't think it's important, but because that's all we've got.
Yeah.
See, hopefully, I mean, look, do you know what? Sometimes things happen and it all works out. Let's hope it all works out.
Let's not. So Anything else for you to talk about, mate? Anything on your list you want to get out before we finish up for the day?
No, only Neil, just to say what a pleasure it's been sitting in the studio with you again this week. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just, you know, like to thank all of the Brighton fans for listening and for sticking the boot in when I got my prediction wrong. The love is mutual. And
it's
thank
gonna
you,
be six goals.
Thank you for all the Palace fans for sticking with us, and I'll try and get my predictions better in the future.
Oh, bless you. It's going to be all right, Andy. We're going to be all right. Football's back this week. It's okay. We've had enough of the international break. We've got the Premier League back. And hey, look, you're going to be out of the house more than you're going to be in the house, because you'll be going so many games.
We have got a few problems, actually, because Harry plays football for a local team, right? And when are their games? Sunday. And when's training? Thursday night.
Oh, Harry, give out the football. Go and watch the Conference League, mate.
There you go. Anything you want to say, Neil? I mean, this is a public forum.
No, definitely not. Nothing else. I've said more than enough today.
I agree.
I'm just looking to our five games that we've got until Christmas. That's all. So,
do you know what would make me more happy than anything?
Go on.
If you muck them up.
Oh, look.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, mate. Well, look, that's it for another episode of Seagull Eagle. Thanks for listening.
Make sure you follow the show and don't miss the next episode when it drops, because we'll be gutted. We'll be back next week to discuss Palace versus Wolves and Brighton versus Brentford. And we'll review all of the upcoming fixtures, because there's plenty of them.
And you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and X. So just search Seagull Eagle and get the conversation started.
Drop us an email if you want. SeagullEaglePodcast@gmail.com. Ask Neil some questions. He likes replying to strangers.
And we'll see you next week. And until then, Seagull!
Eagles!
So many games.